Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday. It is hump day, a gorgeous day here at Toast HQ. I'm at Toast HQ NYC. Jax is in Toast HQ FLA. Hey, girly, how's it going?
It's going good. Happy hump day. I feel as though it feels right to be a Wednesday. You know, it's the latter half of the week. Once we're through with this episode, Claude, we're further in than we are away from it. I think that's really exciting.
I have like so many exciting things on the horizon for me today.
Like what?
Actually, now that, like, I was being sarcastic, but there really is so many exciting things happening. My final furniture delivery from Crate and Barrel. I had placed this enormous order. It's come in installments. And the two big items, the pullout couch for my second bedroom where you and your family will be sleeping one day, God willing. My bed has been broken. I've been sleeping on a broken bed for like 2 years. And I finally got myself like a real ass bed. Custom, from Crate and Barrel.
I can't believe you still are using that other bed. I think we all remember when Ben broke it.
No, different bed.
Oh, okay.
The one that Ben broke, that was a devastating loss because that was a real bed too. Then I was like, you know what? These beds keep breaking. I bought an actual $400 bed from Wayfair. The fact that it has lasted me 6 years, I just want to say, speaks to Wayfair's true quality. And it had a storage drawer underneath. I got a new bed, Crate and Barrel, with a storage drawer. I'm really excited about it. So that's happening today. My apartment will be done by today.
That's exciting.
Then I have to hit up the kosher grocer, which is always just a thrill. When I tell you my life has changed. Then I'm seeing...
Do you find yourself eating more protein now?
Yes.
Like, are you all proteined up?
Every single night. And so funny. So last night I went to an engagement party on the Upper East, Jewish community. Let me tell you, there were two topics of conversation going around the entire party, and two only. Well, three, actually. Four. Okay. First was, of course, the beautiful couple, Mazel Tov,
Mazel.
The second, Ozempic. When I tell you, every person was talking about Ozempic. Three, Ori's, the new kosher grocer. The fruit platter for the engagement party was from Ori's. Everybody said, oh, this is such good fruit from Ori's. So, like, when I thought it really had only revitalized my life. When I tell you every conversation, someone was like, have you had the salad dressing? And I was like, no.
Have you?
No, and I said, have you had the rotisserie chicken? I'm kind of the rotisserie chicken champion. People have really discovered the rotisserie chicken through me. But then, people keep starting rumors about this grocery store. Someone's like, I heard that they're getting a frozen yogurt machine. I'm like, well, actually, I heard that too, so it might be true. But then I heard from my friend Margo, and she saw it with her own eyes, that they are now selling pre-made briskets that are delicious. So everybody's starting rumors about this grocery store. I'm telling you, the grocery store has flipped the community on its head.
That's so beautiful. But they could serve ice cream and chicken.
You know what? I thought about that from a kosher perspective. As a grocery store, yes, as long as you're in separate sections.
Separate kitchens.
But if you're a restaurant with a kitchen, you're obviously only selling meat or dairy. Yeah.
I guess unless you had two kitchens in your restaurant.
That would be, a high budget restaurant.
And different tables too, and different serveware. Very interesting. I'm excited for you.
So that's just and then I'm going, to a concert, seeing by Queenie, Kelsey Ballard Queenie,
Oh.
Yeah.
Very lovely.
So it's just kind of an amazing, and then by the time I'm done with the day, it's the Thursday.
Exactly.
What about you?
Busy day. I'm a little queasy today. It started last night as I was going to sleep. I was feeling nauseous, but I was okay, well, I'll go to sleep then.
What if I just took a nap?
It makes me feel like I want to lay down.
Right.
So why don't I just stay laying? And then as I was doing my makeup this morning, I was I feel a little amiss. Can't pinpoint it. So just going to watch that.
Oh my God, something's up with Jax, you guys.
Nothing crazy. I'm in tune with my body and I'm saying I don't feel 100%. I feel kind of out of focus. You know when that happens?
Yes. So funny. I'm really not a person who's in tune with her body. I'm in tune with what's necessary, but not my body.
You're not? You can't feel if something's a little different?
No. And sometimes I'm completely fine, normal, and healthy. And I'm oh my God, something's off. And nothing's off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not in tune.
I feel if you felt this way, you would notice just a low-grade queasiness, I would say. I don't know. Maybe I need a Zofran.
Are you
pregnant? No.
Okay, did you check?
I don't have to. It's not possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Zofran, perhaps. I don't have one.
Oh, let me tell you something about Zofran.
Gotta ask around. Anyone have a Zofran?
They need to make that shit more accessible. You know, every time I get on my soapbox about Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, more accessible, affordable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Throw Zofran in there too. You shouldn't need a prescription for that shit. It's like the only thing on the planet that actually gets rid of nausea and you need a prescription for it?
Yeah, because it works.
Like, stop. Stop being like gatekeeping, girl boss. Just go.
Yeah, now I'm craving one. I'm itching for one.
So I was...
I'm all out because I'm so generous with mine because I feel
so... You are so generous with your Zofran.
That universal Zofran prescription.
I literally, like, you won't catch me giving my Zofran to a dying person. Like, I... That shit is like liquid gold.
It's so amazing. Like, when you're hungover... Obviously, I was prescribed for migraines. I got, with my migraine medication, Zofran, because migraines can also cause nausea. And I was just... I always got double the amount of Zofran, and they would give me 5 migraine pills for a month. Like, fucking rude. Step it up.
No, I think...
And they would give me so much Zofran, so I was super generous with it to the point that I don't have any.
The greatest part of Ozempic is obviously the weight loss, but I would say coming in close second is more often than not, you get a prescription for Zofran along with it because it can cause nausea. And let me tell you, like, they should sell, drug dealers should get into that.
Oh, and just to clear up some more rumors that might be started about me, I'm not on Ozempic, even though I'm nauseous.
Oh my God, are people saying that?
No, I haven't seen one person say it. Ugh. And honestly, it's a little fucking rude. I was gonna say. Like, it's fucking rude. Maybe, yeah. Can't say, can't confirm or deny if I'm on Ozempic.
No, I'm cackling.
No, but I feel like because of what I'm saying today, people could conclude that I'm on Ozempic and I'm a big champion of the drug. But put the rumors, future rumors to rest, even though I know it looks like I am.
It does.
I'm not.
It does.
It's honestly a little rude that I haven't seen any speculation.
All right, I'll start it. She's literally on Ozempic. I saw her shoot herself up when I was at her house. Okay. I started it now.
No.
Now people will really think so.
That's not a rumor. That's a confirmation. Jackie O is on Ozempic. That's a confirmation, Claudia. You just have to give them crumbs. Can't confirm or deny.
I can confirm. I saw her shooting it up.
Good. That's a lie.
Now, listen, you get what you asked for.
Okay, yeah, I'll put it out. Now people will really be confused. They'll be like...
But Jackie, now you really need to stay on point with your health journey.
No, I know.
Because they're going to be like, Ozempic didn't work for her.
Yikes.
Wait, okay, so last night at this engagement party, it was... I, of course, ended up in the room with the dessert and the older women. That's just like kind of where I sort of gravitate. And of course, everybody was talking about Oprah's Ozempic special. And it really, I got to see firsthand like how I feel, like the impact that it's had. People were just like talking, everyone was talking about it so positive. They loved the special. You know, people said it should have been longer. And it was so fabulous to kind of see it firsthand.
Yeah.
And I was talking to it was my best friend Alicia's house. Her mom is, do you know that Esther is the biggest hoster?
I know she listens to the show, yeah. No, but I didn't know
every
that.
Single every day.
Every day? Hi, Esther.
So she picks up her mom every day. And so sometimes her mom's like, no, I don't need to be picked up. She's like, no, you don't understand. I need to get in the car so I can listen to the toast. And so she comes over to me and she's like, let me ask you a question. This may be so dumb, but like, how do I listen to old episodes? She's like, I can't get past 2 years ago.
And people have been saying that.
And what is that? You know, Apple and Spotify, like, cut us off. We're being silenced.
I feel like there's only a maximum number of episodes that they can host.
Yeah, per show.
Or that they do host. So I think you have to go to YouTube.
So I said, you know, thankfully the archive's always on YouTube. But for me, that's painful because YouTube is basically like a timeline of my weight loss and gains over the years.
Yeah, but you also have said that you want all episodes to be gone. So
I have said that.
I would think that Apple and Spotify cutting us off wouldn't be a bad thing.
I think as a part of like some sort of influencer safety net, you know, podcast
influencer protection policy.
The influencer protection program is like a subscription you pay yearly that after content is, I want to say, 2 years old, it needs to be erased. The culture changes. We can only be held responsible for what we said in the moment. Like holding somebody's feet to the fire for something they said 5 years ago. Like, I don't know her. I need a program like that. And it needs to be called the influencer protection program.
Okay, the IPP.
I love that. I think we should start it.
Yeah. I would do it. Yeah. Even though 2 years, then what about like my wedding photos?
Okay.
Gone. Well, that's why I have to post them every anniversary. No, but that's cool too.
That's what the Influencer Protection Program does. Like they weigh.
Sift through.
Yeah. Like anything personal, wishing a happy birthday to your spouse. Like, of course, that stays. But anything, you know, topical or a little bit, you know, murky.
But what if you wish a happy birthday to your spouse and you're like, happy birthday, R word.
Well, that would then be alerted by the IPP. I don't know why you would be calling your significant other the R word, but I see what you're saying.
Like, it could be a joke you guys have.
Right, right.
That doesn't age well.
In a time where everyone was saying that word. Now, I understand. The IPP would flag that for sure. And maybe when they felt the culture changing, that flag, that folder of R word content would be immediately washed away.
Yeah. I think we're onto something.
1,000%. But I don't want to limit it to influencers. Like, it's really comedians.
Yeah, people, you need that for their jobs going forward. You know, just a social media cleansing program.
So I'm glad you brought up rumors being spread about you. I don't know if you know that there's like a conspiracy theory about us.
Tell me everything.
It's one of those things where people think like we're like cooler and more Hollywood than we are.
It's true. I don't care what it is. It's true. So, extra. What is it?
People were blowing us up on social media yesterday for not talking about Quiet on Set, the documentary. They think we're like involved. Like, and they're like, why haven't the girls spoken about it? And it's, first of all, we literally spoke about it the day before yesterday and last week.
And the time before that. I saw those comments, and that's just people to me who don't watch the show.
No, but there's like a full theory that we're like protecting Dan Schneider. When, if you read my book, you know.
You don't watch the show.
I haven't watched the show
if you think that.
I haven't watched the documentary yet either. But I saw on TikTok yesterday, and of course it's a story today, Dan Schneider did a podcast.
He did an interview.
It was a podcast. Like, that's where it was.
It was? That person has a podcast?
I think so, no. I mean, they were sitting in.
That's not the vibe.
They were sitting in chairs with sure mics.
Did they have mics?
Yeah. Did they not?
No, they were just sitting in chairs facing each other. I think that person, the vibe I got is that person is a friend of Dan Schneider's, and I think people probably like him, and he felt like he wanted to sit down with Dan to clear up some rumors.
That person.
And they gave it to the Hollywood Reporter.
Is a former
iCarly star.
Yes. Star is
and they
generous.
Gave it, it's from the Hollywood Reporter. I watched it on X.
Oh, by the way, they did give it to the Hollywood Reporter. I watched it on the Hollywood Reporter's TikTok, and you're right. They don't have microphones.
It's not a podcast. It's just a piece of content.
So funny how my brain is sort of manipulated into thinking two people in chairs looking at each other is a podcast.
No, nothing about that was giving podcast because it was so quick and brief.
It was so weird.
And if you're a podcaster, like, we have the time.
That's actually so true. It was only 19 minutes.
It was just like question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. The pace of it was so fast paced to me. I never could have mistaken it for a podcast.
Yeah, there was no sort of conversation after Dan gave one of his answers. It was just like, okay, moving on.
Yeah, thank you for clearing that up, even though you barely did.
And by the way, not Dan Schneider getting on the Ozempic train. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dan Schneider looks like he lost 200 pounds.
Yeah, he does look slimmed down.
Yeah.
And he has a goatee.
And he doesn't deserve Ozempic. It's too good for him. Give it to someone who can't afford it, like for real, and who really needs it.
Well, we'll get into that interview. So I guess without further ado, did you watch Vanderpump Rules last night?
I didn't. I was at an engagement party.
Right. I watched it. I'm struggling to remember what happened.
If you want to table it for like maybe next week, we could do like a 2-episode recap because I didn't watch it. And I do have Dear Toasters for today.
Yeah, but no, I didn't have any pressing feelings or thoughts. So it doesn't even matter.
Okay.
Great. So without further ado, here are the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five Stories that you need to know are brought to you by Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry about when you buy tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. So Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. The all-in pricing shows your total upfront, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. You can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. They're just obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. So they have deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. It's basically the place to find last-minute seats. You have exclusive flash deals, sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you'll pick the section and Game Time will pick the seats, and that'll give you big-time savings. And of course, the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TOAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. It's last minute tickets. It's the lowest price. And know what? It's guaranteed. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp. So thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode. A lot of us are spending our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and to make it a priority, and therapy can help you find what matters to you, so you can do more of it. If you're thinking of giving therapy a start, try BetterHelp. It's done entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's designed to be flexible, and of course, suited to your schedule. You'll fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll then get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I feel that's probably one of the greatest benefits of BetterHelp is, like, a weird thing about therapy is sometimes you go to a therapist, no matter how highly recommended they are, and it's just not a match, like, on a personality level. There's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just not a good match. So switching can be really awkward, but BetterHelp makes it super easy. And then when you do find a therapist that you match with, it's done entirely online. So whatever medium you're most comfortable with is what you can do. You can video chat, you can phone call, you can text, whatever works for you. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/toast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/toast, betterhelp.com/TOAST. You know, there's really never a bad time to start. I feel like a lot of people try to, like, get into therapy at the beginning of the year, like, try and make it a resolution, but just get started. It's one of those things, like, hashtag just do it, you know? Just do it. And you can do so at betterhelp.com/TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prolon. These days, a lot of people are learning about all the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health. But they worry about the whole not eating part. That's exactly why Prolon was created. Introducing Prolon, a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. Prolon is not a diet, it is science. It's based on Nobel Peace Prize-winning discoveries in medicine, and this all starts with their five-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. It's a no wonder why thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. Right now, Prolon is offering the Toast listeners 10% off their five-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/toast. That's prolonlife.com/toast for this special offer. It's prolonlife.com/toast. It's really a revolution that's taking place in the fasting that helps weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health. And if you're just tired of fasting or cleanses that leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized, try Prolon, the scientifically proven meal plan solution that you've been waiting for. So head to prolonlife.com/toast for a special offer of 10% off their five-day nutrition program.
Thank you. Are you ready for our first story?
I am.
Dan Schneider responds in an on-camera video to disturbing revelations in Quiet on Set. So Dan Schneider, he posted the video to his YouTube channel at Dan Warp.
Oh, he did?
And yes, it was a 20-minute interview with Boogie, who plays Tebow on iCarly. So people have seen the allegations in Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, that has been airing over the last few days. And Dan Schneider is being
held accountable.
Held accountable. So he is asked about some of the more egregious allegations made in that series. He said, quote, "Facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology." He spoke about the series allegations that he continuously requested female writers to massage him in front of other writers and crew members. He said, "It was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anybody in that position. It was the wrong thing to do. I'd never do it today. I'm embarrassed that I did it then. I apologize to anybody that I ever put in that situation. Additionally, I apologize to the people who were walking around Video Village or wherever they happened, because there were lots of people there who witnessed it and who also may have felt uncomfortable. So I owe them an apology as well." He talks about the jokes that have been deemed inappropriate now that were made on the show, and he apologizes for those while also saying, you know, there were a lot of people
whose job it was to approve that.
Who wrote that, and, you know, everybody gave those things the green light. But overall, he's saying, "I'm so sorry. These things shouldn't have happened. I wouldn't do it now. I wish I didn't do it then."
Okay. So first of all, I thought the turnaround time was really crazy. Almost like he knew, like this was pre-recorded. Like, he knew what was going to be said about him. Like, maybe he got a screener. Because really yesterday was, I feel like, yesterday the second episode, the second part of the documentary had dropped, but I think much more of the more egregious allegations. And literally, like, while it's going viral, like, the second people start talking about it, he drops his thing. Like, I just thought the timing was kind of crazy, no?
I don't think so. I think we've been talking about the fact that this thing was coming out for a few weeks. So I'm sure he knew, and I'm sure they reached out to him for comment. I'm sure they knew this was going to be a referendum on him. And I think that his strategy for combating it is to, like, get ahead of it. Whatever they say, like, I am going to put out a statement explaining myself. And so he saw whatever was from the other night and immediately, like, got on the Hornet. He maybe even had a plan for what he wanted to do, a video setting the record straight with a friend and someone who people might trust because they were also on set at these times, and just sort of clear the air.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I did think, you know, first of all, what a tool. I don't even, what's his name? The interviewer?
Boogie.
Like, probably some of the biggest loser energy I've ever seen radiating from another human being. But, you know, and Dan thinks he's subtle. You know, so many of the allegations were around how, you know, black actors and there was, like, a lack of diversity, and the actors who were hired, who were, you know, diverse, who were black, were not given, like, any attention, any sort of opportunity. So him sitting there with a former castmate who's also black, like, it was like, you're not being subtle, Dan. Like, what? Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, no, as if that nullifies what other people are saying. I feel like there are probably a lot of people who have worked with Dan Schneider who would say good things about him, who maybe had a positive experience working for him, who were maybe stars of their show, and it was in Dan's best interest to be nice to them. Like, I don't think Dan treated everyone the same and that everyone's going to say the same things about him. It's not surprising to me that he has people who would champion him and say nice things about him, that there's people who say the opposite.
Yeah, and it's also, like, I feel because these are all child actors, it's so... I feel like each kid had a different experience is so dependent on their parents' involvement. And, like, mm-hmm. Jeanette McCurdy, you know, stating in her book, not very explicitly, but referring to Dan as the creator and how he was super manipulative and, like, literally like a psychopath. And she also, her book is called I'm Glad My Mom Died. Like, no one was looking out for her. And then with Drake Bell and Amanda Bynes, like, those are also two big stars of this documentary. Amanda Bynes has a very... sordid relationship with her parents, and especially at that time when she was bringing in a lot of money, it became a big issue. Drake Bell had wanted to become emancipated from his parents, so he really sort of, like, surveyed the kids who were either came from broken homes or had complicated relationships with their parents, and sort of preyed on that because it leaves these young kids very vulnerable.
Yeah, but I'm sure plenty of other kids whose parents were on set who didn't fall into this web,
right?
And say, oh, working with Dan launched my career, and
right, because then you think about, like, Ariana things. Grande,
yeah,
and Josh, think about Ariana and like Grande. Liz Gillies. These are all kids who have big careers and who I think would state that they had fine experiences. I'm sure, you know, being a child star comes with its own host of whatever, but when it comes to this particular documentary, would say that they had fine experiences, and I think a lot of them would credit that to the fact that their parents were around, like, 100% of the time.
Yeah,
so. It's very disturbing, and I think it, like, I think a lot of people, like, for me, like, the great tragedy is really emblematic in what happened to Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
And there's so much footage in this documentary, and I haven't watched a documentary, but I've seen so many clips, you know, unaired moments, behind the scenes recordings that are so fucking weird and gross. And now, of course, when you go back and watch certain scenes that were either aired or not aired, with hindsight, like, it's weird. But when you were a kid, you didn't think, you weren't disgusting as a kid. Like, you just thought it was, like, funny, haha. Like,
yeah, that's what Dan said too. And he also said, cut those scenes out, like, take them out. But the thing is, the damage is done. Those actors already experienced it, and they're forever changed because of it. Like, what's cutting? No one really is watching those old shows now.
No, cutting it is not going to help anyone.
He also said, like, in an effort to make things better for child actors going forward, that there should be a licensed counselor on set whose job it is to evaluate each child and make sure that they really want to be on TV, that they're not just doing it for their parents, that they know what comes along with being a working child actor, with being famous, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, for sure. But people like Dan Schneider should also, like, go the fuck away.
Yeah. No, there are so many issues with that. First of all, like, of course, a kid who has a penchant for acting and singing wants to be on TV, and they're going to do and say anything to get that position. And they have no idea what they're signing on to.
Right.
If you tell them what they're signing on to, this is a child. They can't make like actual
decisions,
real serious decisions for themselves. Also, if their parents are pressuring them to do it, like you get this job and maybe your family needs the money and the kid's going to talk to the therapist. I don't want to do it. Like when you know your parents need you to do it, it's just dishonest. Also, what are the odds that this counselor is an honest, good faith actor
right.
and not giving some massages. Other predator?
Yeah, no.
It's giving, like that's an easy job for a predator to get,
1,000%. Also, I feel like this is so crazy because there've been so many documentaries that like get, you know, so viral and it really, you know, breaks open what was going on. Like Larry Nassar, for example. Very rarely does the person then come out. I feel like when these documentaries are made, the person who is being exposed is either like in jail, dead, off the grid. It's so rare like that we hear from them that same day. It's felt so weird.
It is weird, but the difference is from what I've seen, like what Dan Schneider is being accused of is not like illegal behavior. He's not incriminating himself by apologizing for these things.
Right, right. Which,
you know, by being a mean boss, mm-hmm. inappropriate, bad, inappropriate jokes, like nothing that he's apologizing for are things that like he could go to jail for or anything like that. With Larry Nassar and, yeah. and those sorts of people, like, no, they can't come and say, I'm sorry I did that. Like, lock him up.
Yeah, but I also feel like, and we've been for years, you know, if you like keep up with media, like, you know, Dan Schneider, you know, the name, you know, that like this was a very, very long time coming. And I feel like
the rumors about him are worse than what, the allegations that have come out from this documentary. There are other things, too,
yes.
that we've all sort of heard that I guess they're not addressing in the documentary,
which is why he was able to then, you know, go on and refute those claims in an interview. Because if they were the real allegations, what we've all heard for many, many years, he could never, you know, speak on that because he would go to jail.
Well, he certainly couldn't apologize. The only right. thing he could say is I didn't do those things.
Right.
That's all he could say. And that's not the tone of this interview. He's not saying I did not do the things that they're saying in that documentary. He said, I did them, it was wrong, and I'm sorry.
Right, but there's more.
Like,
right,
but cool, you're sorry. The damage is done. Like,
yeah, like,
sorry.
No, we don't give a fuck, like, for real.
Yeah, sorry that you're embarrassed today and that you're having a bad week. I don't give a shit.
No, like, not going to find me caring.
It was an interesting strategy, though, because it definitely has you being like, if he's being so candid and taking accountability, maybe he's not as guilty as you would think.
No, I think it's like, I think what his strategy was, but I'm seeing right through it, is like, yeah, let me take accountability for all the things that like won't put me in prison that, you know, aren't the greatest things, but they're not as bad as what I've really been accused of. Like, oh yeah, I yelled at some writers and I made weird jokes. Pale in comparison to what, you know, we've all heard for years. So taking accountability for those things makes him look like an honest person, but we can't be fooled, you know, especially yeah. when just the rumors have been around about him for so long, like so long.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's, but I guess in the same breath that people are talking about quiet on set now, they're also talking about this Dan Schneider interview, as opposed to it just being about like these nasty things about Dan Schneider.
He's know? Just like really gross and he needs to just go away, like for real.
He had gone away though, yeah?
Right, so he's not like a person who works, is public facing all the time. Like he didn't even really need to respond. He's extremely wealthy. He could have just continued like living his private life.
Yeah, he could just be like a freak who's obsessed with the attention and like can't let people talk about him without him coming out and clearing his name.
For sure. Even though like people have been talking about him for so long. He's never.
Not mainstream.
No, not mainstream. But former castmates, remember when Jeanette McCurdy was on Vine, she was making all those. She was clearly having some sort of like episode and she was like making all these cryptic TikToks about Dan Schneider. Like, there have been many, many moments over the years where we've talked about it, never to the point, you're right, where it became like mainstream and viral content. But it's been spoken about for so many years and he really has just dip, dive, duck, dive and dodge, you know?
Yeah.
He's such a freak. He's so disgusting looking. Like, hey.
Yeah. So I haven't watched documentary, but now I want to, but I wanted to watch this before just
yeah.
so that we could speak on it so that people don't think we're covering up for Dan Schneider. when I see those comments, like, that's a person who has never watched The Toast a day in their life because we've been talking about Dan Schneider since 2017.
Jackie and I, when our show was owned by Verizon, we were, like, obviously talking about Dan Schneider, like, two girlies would, like, talking about how he's a freak and a pedophile. And we literally got called, we got called in by Verizon, like, legal team. We had to sit through, like, a 2-hour compliance. They were like,
you guys can't say stuff like that.
We're like, what do you mean? It's true. We literally had to sit in, like, a 2-hour presentation, like, about compliance and defamatory language. Like, it was so boring, first of all. And I was like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me.
It was actually probably really helpful.
I agree. Not for Dan Schneider.
To go forward and doing what we do, it was a good lesson to learn.
Just throw allegedly in front of anything you say and you're totally safe.
Yeah, that was really the lesson. But just to goes to show you that we were called in 2017 over this. So if you think we're part of the cover-up, you haven't been paying attention.
And I feel
and
like
you're not fans of this show. Like, I don't know how you stumbled on yesterday's YouTube episode, but go away.
Jackie, literally, how many days can go by before I bring up Jeanette McCurdy's book? Like, what are you guys talking about?
No, literally. And the thing is, I'm talking to them right now, but they're not listening because they don't watch this show. They just commented on yesterday's episode.
No, and by the way, Jackie and I, like, we're pretty wishy-washy on certain things, right? You know, one day we hate this person. We're always changing our minds. I don't want to say wishy-washy. We're open-minded. One thing I feel like we really don't move on from is, like, child stuff. Like, we're never going to be back on Balenciaga. Like, the kid stuff, like, we can't be bought, you know?
Yeah. No, there's no turning a new leaf on kid, you know?
On kid stuff. I agree. Like, I don't care how sorry you are. Like, for real. There is no absolution.
Yeah.
You've been absolved. Absolution. You've been absolved. Absolution? Absolution. Okay. It feels wrong, actually.
Absolution.
Abstinence? No.
Absolution, formal release from guilt.
Oh, yeah, there is none. Like, seriously, once you meet your maker, you can work it out then.
Yeah. So, that's what's new with Dan Schneider.
He's got a turkey neck.
Are you body shaming?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I really, really am.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beyonce says her new album, Act Two, Cowboy Carter, was born out of an experience where she did not feel welcome. So Beyonce has announced her next album called Act Two, Cowboy Carter on social media. It has a picture of herself wearing a red, white, and blue outfit on a horse and holding up an American flag. As we know, this next album from Beyonce is going to be a country album in the elk of her two songs that she's released called Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. She put out a statement yesterday with the announcement saying, thank you from the bottom of my heart to all the supporters of Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. I feel honored to be the first black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. That would not have happened without the outpouring of support from each and every one of you. My hope is that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will be irrelevant. She said this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history. The criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act Two is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. I have a few surprises on the album and have collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect. I hope that you can hear my heart and soul and all of the love and passion that I poured into every detail and every sound.
Okay, so many thoughts. Well, people then figured out like what things she was talking about when she was entered the genre and didn't feel welcome.
Unwelcoming
and
experience.
I remembered that too when she did that CMA performance. I thought it was fabulous. Like, I loved it. I loved
She did a CMA performance with the Dixie Chicks.
The Chicks. Singing,
at the time, they were called the Dixie Chicks. Singing one of her songs. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of this.
Oh,
really.
I do. And I actually remember talking about it on The Toast. And I wonder if she's talking about not feeling welcome by, like, the fans or by, like, fellow country artists.
The vibe I got was backstage unwelcoming. Because I think then I saw an old article that Beyonce talked about, like, not feeling welcome at the CMAs. Mm. And she felt like backstage everyone was, like, kind of giving them looks, because the Chicks are also sort of,
they're like a lightning rod.
Yeah, I feel like there's dynamics with it. They might have enemies too. In
they're definitely the CMAs. Like, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so again, then also maybe the fans, and I think the reception to the performance has been scrubbed from the internet. You can't even watch it.
Wait, that's so crazy. I remember thinking, like, thank God, like, when somebody so cool as Beyonce, like, gives her sort of approval to the CMAs, like, we've been trying to get people onto country for so many years, like, Beyonce has that power. I remember being like, yeah, the more the merrier, and I do remember the fans being, like, lame about it.
Yeah, I feel like it must have been a bad reception because you can't even watch the video now. Because, of course, now I want to go see and be like, oh, what'd they do?
Oh, I didn't realize it was scrubbed.
Yeah, ugh, it's not.
Loser energy.
Does anyone have an old TiVo?
Yeah, not the TiVo.
We could watch it.
Well, then she's sort of teasing in this caption, you know, working with people, collabs. And we have to sort of sit here and just guess. Can you?
Chris Stapleton.
Well, read again who she said she was collaborating with, because it sounds like it might be mostly black artists.
I have a few surprises on the album and have collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect.
A few side sentences up.
I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history.
Oh, okay, maybe not, maybe not.
That just felt like sort of the genesis and the research for this project. Mm-hmm. And like,
and also how country music is really for everyone. Like,
yeah.
Okay,
as far as collaborations, no, I feel like she might be collaborating with some big country artists.
Okay, I would not mind a Beyonce-Darius Rucker collab. Like, I feel like Darius Rucker has kind of put the, like, black country music fandom on his back for so many years. And I think Beyonce should reward him for his good work, you know?
Yeah. I don't see it.
I don't see it musically, like, sonically. I agree, they're very different.
I really do see Chris Stapleton. Because he collabs. He loves a collab.
He collabs, A.
He's DTC, down to collab.
But also, I feel, like, sound-wise, he's very soulful and very, I don't know.
No, soulful's a good word. Yeah. And I also feel like, as far as, like, the mixing of genres, like, there's a
crossover.
Yeah, I think it would sound really beautiful. I feel like that could be. And then maybe some artists that we don't know as well yet. Oh, I don't think it's going to be like, you know.
You know who I Luke feel like Holmes she's going to do? No.
And Luke Bryan.
Please, no. Do you know who I feel like she's going to do a collab with? 100%. Actually, I'm calling it right now. The Warren Treaty. Okay. Remember I told you about that wife-husband duo?
Yeah.
I saw at the CMAs. They just did a collab with Zach Bryan. I feel like they're really up and coming. And they're amazing, like, vocally. And I feel like Beyonce's going to platform them. And I think that'd be sick.
Well, also, Maren Morris had commented on Beyonce's statement saying, drag them, queen, because, you know, she's on the outs with country music. So do you think?
No. I don't think Beyonce's going to work with her. I think that's the antithesis. Maren just left country and Beyonce's entering. They're two ships passing in the night.
Yeah. But do you think, it sounds like from this statement, like, Beyonce's, like, coming into the world of country music, like, wants to be a part of it.
Yes, wants to, like, really sort of unite all different fandoms. I think she's coming into it, like, peacemaker, like, with, you know, waving the white flag.
Not coming in and being like, I'm mad about 5 years ago, I'm going to do your genre better than you.
Oh.
That's not what I'm getting from this statement.
No, it's getting, like, really, like, music heals, music unites, and I'm going to be that force.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's what I had thought.
That's what I had thought too. But then, like, Maren Morris, I feel like, is feeling like drag them.
I think Maren Morris read it differently. And I think Maren read it incorrectly.
Unless she's like saying drag those who made you feel unwelcome.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I felt that the overall sentiment of Beyonce's caption, and I actually really appreciate her giving, I feel like she doesn't really give us like this much insight ever. Like, she just releases her music and it speaks for itself. But I feel like she definitely left it in a very sort of positive, uplifting tone.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to hear the album.
No, let me tell you, I'm on my way to Stanhood. Like, seriously, all aboard. I cannot wait. Oh, it comes out kind of soon. Also, I love the name Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
The artwork, perfection.
Gorgeous.
Like, obsessed with, like, that's so my aesthetic. Like, I'm loving. Beyonce's doing country and she's doing it right.
Yeah, so far, so good.
When
I think it comes out in 10 days.
Thank you. Like, normal lead time. We appreciate it.
And you've given us a normal lead time.
And you've given us two songs. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. See you in 10 days. Next Friday.
Do you think she would do a Kacey Musgraves collab? Like, I'm thinking of who's really hot right now in country music and not sort of mainstream. Like, obviously Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs, but I'm thinking like Kacey Musgraves, Zach Bryan.
So I think that Kacey Musgraves, like, I see what you're saying, but I don't think that will make it onto the album.
Because I also feel like, you know, Kacey's very, like, progressive within the community of country, yeah. but still remains country.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's a good call, but I don't think it will be.
Okay.
But it's a good call.
I'm so curious. Drop a comment. Who do you think Beyonce's going to collab with or should collab with? I feel like we made some good calls.
Should. We could be here all day. Will?
Should Luke Combs. Will? It's Chris Stapleton. But she should. Chris. Yeah.
Honestly, really Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for our next story?
What number?
3.
Yeah.
Kate Middleton's medical records have been part of a hospital security breach. The hospital where Kate Middleton underwent abdominal surgery in January is reportedly experiencing a security breach involving the Princess of Wales's medical records. An investigation is underway at the London Clinic over claims that at least one staffer attempted to access her files, the Daily Mail reported. Quote, this is a major security breach and incredibly damaging for the hospital, given its unblemished reputation for treating members of the royal family.
No, and this is truly why we can't have nice things. Like, this people got too insane and it was all fun until it wasn't. This is so disgusting. And like, this is what I was saying yesterday. Like, the party's over. The buck stops here. And people can't let it go. They can't just like let something be bygones and let like a good thing have happened. They have to ruin it. And that's what happened. So yeah. Good job. Congratulations. You played yourself.
This is absolutely insane, but also makes me feel like ultimately the version of the story that we're getting is a version of the truth, because the staffer accessed her medical records. If there was something wild in there, I feel like they would have made it public. Otherwise, what were they doing?
And I want to say, like, I feel as though a lot of things, nothing in this world is sacred, like nothing really. But I feel like the HIPAA oath, for the most part, like, people really, really take seriously and they respect it. And you don't hear a lot about, like, and celebrities, you know, are human beings. So they have all sorts of health issues, pregnancies, things like that. And people in the medical field, I'm sure, you know, who live in, you know, work at Cedars-Sinai, I know plenty. And I feel like it's kind of this oath that's really sort of respected. And I love that. And so when I hear situations like this, remember Scott Disick? When he was in that rehab Zoom thing, HIPAA violation, for the most part, people really respect it. Both people who work in the medical field, but also people in the waiting rooms, you know, fellow patients, people really respect it.
Though they haven't taken the oath, but yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even regular people, I forget who I was having this conversation with, but you know, like, celebrities have to go to the OBGYN. Mm-hmm. And you know, when they're pregnant, they're hiding a pregnancy. But even if they see someone, for the most part, there is this sort of unwritten thing. You see a celebrity in the doctor's room, like, you're not gonna really share that. So when something like this happens, it's always really disappointing.
Yeah, no, this is insane. I hope that staffer is found and fired swiftly.
No, and like, you know, walked through the streets. Shame.
Yeah.
Because what are you doing it for? So you could sell it to TMZ? Like, you're disgusting.
Yeah. Which makes me feel like there was nothing to sell. Just if we're going to get back to the
if we're going to conspiracy.
Get back to the conspiracy. Like, they didn't find what they were looking for, clearly.
Or she wasn't able to access it because it's, you know, like you said, they have an unblemished record. They're obviously very secure. And some, you know, low-life nurse can't get access to everyone's files.
Yeah, attempted to access.
Right.
Okay.
It's giving low-life nurse.
It is.
I kind of love the term lowlife. It's so insulting. And I don't really use it a lot because
that's why it's insulting, because it's not overused.
Yeah, but like being called, if somebody ever called me a lowlife, like I would just end it. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But don't do something that warrants being called a lowlife, nurse.
You don't think it was a doctor, administrator, it's got to be a nurse.
I'm sorry, did I assume? You read.
One staffer.
Okay, I'm sorry for assuming, but it was 1,000% a nurse. No?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God, I totally assumed. And I made an ass out of you and me. I'm so sorry, but it was.
But you stand by the assumption.
Yeah. And let's not get into it, Ashley Jessica RN. I respect and adore nurses. They are, you know, our society's lifeblood, our brave, I respect, but it was definitely one of them.
I think an honest nurse
would agree with me.
Yeah.
But this wasn't an honest nurse. It was a low-life nurse.
Hi. Okay, ready for our next story?
No, because I forgot to tell you how cute you look today.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I got this favorite daughter sweatshirt.
From Fashion Pass, so did
from
I.
From Fashion Pass, one of our sponsors.
It's definitely, I would never wear it in front of you because it's like beyond rude, but I see you obviously had no qualms about wearing that in front of me.
No, because I like it. And it's cute. I like the color of it because I feel like it's a nice color to wear on the show. I feel like it's one of my colors.
Yeah, I need to start wearing more of my colors. I wore my color last night and everybody said it looked so gorgeous. Like everyone what was talking color? About it. Like it was like a wintry blue.
That's everyone's color. No offense. It's such a gorgeous color.
I feel like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's more so like, is this an ugly color?
Yeah, is this a flattering color for the human face?
Right.
That's a beautiful color for anyone. Honestly, I've not seen someone look bad in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we dive in, and I'm actually not ready because I wanted to tell you that the last two stories are brought to you by Hero Bread, a brand that Ben Soffer is so obsessed with. He actually reached out to him because he wanted to invest. He was like, I feel so strongly about this company. We have Hero Bread in our house all the time because, you know, Ben and I are on our health journeys. And if you're afraid of carbs, we get it. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most, and Hero Bread is out here making the same delicious favorites, but they are free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus, protein and fiber. So we have tons of Hero Bread products. We have bread like for sandwiches. We have tortillas. They really taste very good, but they are so much better for you. And this is something I used to like roll my eyes out because they really like all these companies. I'm sorry, like most of them taste like crap. Hero Bread is the real deal. It's 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 sugar, and they're high in fiber. They're delicious and flavorful, so they're soft and fluffy, and you will really like feel a refreshing experience when you bite into a Hero Bread sandwich. There's something for every craving, so they have sliced bread loaves, buns. We've had those on our hamburgers, very good. And the tortillas, where I like to make my sort of tortilla pizza. I don't know if you guys know, I like that a lot. Excellent. So don't give up bread. And don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order when you go to hero.co and use code TOAST at checkout. That's TOAST, TOAST, at hero.co, hero.co. Today's episode is also brought to you by ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. Your pet is one of a kind. I feel like this is a very appropriate sponsor for me because with my, you know, first love, Theo, we actually did not have pet insurance. I thought that was like one of the dumbest things I've ever did. And look how it paid off. Like I ended up with crazy bills. Before I even got Romeo, the first thing I did was get pet health insurance. And it's really important that you do that because your pet is one of a kind and so is their journey. Every playful moment is a memory in the making, but sometimes our cats and dogs are a little too good at getting into trouble. And that's why you should really check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. Explore their coverage. Their program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the health care that they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years. They have helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, help ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. So explore their coverage via visit aspcapetinsurance.com/toast. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/toast. aspcapetinsurance.com/toast. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Check out aspcapetinsurance.com/toast.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our next story. Tired Kyle Richards is reacting to her niece Paris Hilton bashing Mauricio Umansky.
Yes.
So we spoke last week about what Paris Hilton said about the clip from Buying Beverly Hills. And now Kyle is on Amazon Live talking about what Paris said. She said, I'm just kind of tired of hearing about everything over and over again. She said that she thought, she was like, for me, it was like, oh, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion is done. Thank God I can exhale and relax a little bit. And then I was like, oh, not too soon, Kyle. There's more stuff coming. She said, my family's all in the public eye, and it's weird to think that I'm on television. My niece is on television. My sister's on television on her show, and she's been on my show. My family's on television. My daughter's. It's a lot. Yeah, I mean, it is a lot to keep apart. Like, Paris has her own show.
Real Housewives.
Kathy's on Real Housewives and Paris in Love. Then Mauricio is on Buying Beverly Hills, and Kyle's daughters are on mm-hmm. that show too. And it's like everyone has to keep track of what everyone's saying all the time, and you have to keep talking about what everyone's saying.
And she's so right. Like, with the Richards sisters, like, they've been fighting since season one, and they have really been fighting about the same sort of kind of Roman Empire moments in their family. Like, they keep rehashing the same five things. You know, you stole my goddamn house, Rick and Mauricio, like the same couple of things. And I feel like that's so classic family beef.
Yeah, well, I just watched part three of Beverly Hills. Kathy came out, and what they said was, it's like, it feels like Kathy and Kyle are always fighting, but they both, without, you know, looking at each other, were able to say the exact amount of fights that they've had in their life.
Right.
It's three.
It's three topics as well.
And it's also like three blow-up fights that are kind of the reason for all of the other ancillary bouts of not speaking, but they've only had three fights in their life, which is pretty good for sisters.
No, and I feel like it's really actually relatable to family arguments. Oh my God, she got her Zofran, you guys. Are you feeling okay?
No, I was feeling queasy. I asked Zach to just go into my medicine pouch. I thought maybe I might have one, because it's good to have one of everything in a medicine pouch. If I could give it person a tip.
Looks like you have three.
I had three.
Well, this is going to change the game. Speedy recovery.
Oh, I mean, Zofran is fast acting.
It's literally magic. I'm obsessed with it.
Maybe we could get a Zofran sponsorship.
I mean, I've been waiting for an Ozempic sponsorship, so.
We have the sponsor who does the telehealth?
We do, but I meant like with the real company, like Ozempic, with Novo Nordisk.
Free product.
Right, for life.
You need to be like what Chloe does for that migraine company.
Okay, let's talk about that migraine company, Nurtec OTD. Their commercials with Chloe and Lady Gaga are so insane. How much money do you think Nurtec OTD spent on those two celebrities?
A good amount. Like, if Travis Kelce got paid $20 million for Pfizer,
mm-hmm.
and $10 million maybe? That's more. A lot. Oh, I was going to say less.
A national commercial. I would say when he signed that Pfizer deal, he was less famous than Khloe Kardashian and Lady Gaga.
That's true, but that commercial plays more.
Really? Nurtec OTD is fucking everywhere.
Damn. Lady Gaga
on the piano. Oh, and they got True in there. Oh, I think about Nurtec OTD money constantly.
So interesting. And I'm sure, I hope she actually uses it. Like, I wonder if it's actually good for her migraines.
I know.
Like, if anyone wants to put me, Khloe's
spoken for years about migraines.
If anyone wants to put me in a Rizatriptan commercial, I'll talk all day.
Yeah, here are the drugs that I would like put my weight behind in terms of their efficacy. Ozempic, of course. I'm literally the poster child for it. Zofran, obsess, goes in tandem with the Ozempic. Advil. When I tell you, oh, I fucking love Advil. There is not a problem in my life Advil hasn't solved.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's really it. Like, those three. Like, I love a Tum too. They really work, but
Xanax. Not prescribed, but yeah. I like it.
Yeah, of course. Opioids, and I'm kidding.
No, I haven't taken a Xanax in so long.
Me neither. Like, I don't really like do drugs, so.
No, not since before any motherhood. Pregnancy. Yeah, before right. mother. Now, like, what am I doing on Xanax? Like, barred out?
No, you couldn't be, like, zonked out. Like, no. Unless, like, you had a real prescription for it, which you literally don't.
Mm-mm. No.
How did we get to Nurtec? Oh, you were taking your Zofran. I was just taking
my Zofran, but we were talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Anyways, what's good to know is that Kim and Kathy are on good terms right now.
I feel like they have been for a while. Like, I think once Kathy came on the show, it became kind of clear that, like, Kyle and her, you know, history of being on the show and talking about the family stuff was really sort of like a polarizing thing and a huge reason why the sisters could really never get on the same page for very long.
Yeah. But then they had the falling out from last season about the Aspen night.
Yep.
And now they've worked past that, and now they are good again. And Kathy's really, like, just was supporting her and standing by her when she was talking about all the stuff with Mauricio. And she really just needed a sister, and Kathy was being a good sister.
No, I love Kathy.
Yeah. No, it was really nice to have her back. It's funny. She wasn't on the season for 1 minute, and she's at the reunion.
because that's queen behavior. Like, when no matter how, like, quote unquote, irrelevant you are to the storyline, like, you're the most interesting part.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, everyone in the Richards, Hilton, Umansky family on their reality shows, it's, like, kind of funny.
It is.
Like, you can't keep track of what everyone's saying. I guess that's, like, us with our podcasts.
Totally.
You know, and then you hear, like, Ben said something on his, and you have to respond to it.
And, like,
And then Margo said something on Redheads.
And I will respond.
Margo's always saying crazy stuff on Redheads.
Is she?
Kind of. Now it's where she goes to make her announcements.
I know. That's, like, really huge for your brand.
I know. I'm very excited about it, and I plan to exploit it.
As you should.
Like, she told Redheads Exclusive that she was moving. If you guys didn't even know that, you should listen to the new episode of Redheads.
Exactly.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah. It's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. And we still have Dear Toasters.
It's actually the perfect fifth story because Travis Kelce is in talks to host Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader reboot.
Obsessed.
Travis Kelce is capitalizing on his newfound fame. The Kansas City Chiefs star is reportedly in talks to host a reboot of the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which would stream via Amazon Prime Video. Two insiders told Variety on Tuesday that the game show would feature celebrity guests rather than children. Despite his interest in the program, producers are hesitant to extend an offer over questions of his availability.
Rather than the children? How do you have Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader without the fifth graders?
Rather than children. I don't know. Like, you need both. You need...
I mean, you don't really need the fifth graders because you're answering like, here's what they learn in fifth grade level.
Right. Yeah.
But the kids were so funny and snarky. Although I do love, you know, putting less children after we were just talking about Quiet on Set, like getting children off of those sets. I do like that. But when it comes to the show, like, those kids were hilarious. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
And that Travis, like, interacting with little fifth graders, like, that's the magic, no?
Yeah. It's a really cute idea, and I'm sure he's trying to branch out. I think there's a very intentional team behind him as he, like, enters a new chapter of his career. He's still playing football, but one day he won't be. And just like he did SNL and he does his podcast, and now there might be other hosting opportunities for him. We know he's a TV star. He did Catching Kelce. Great show. 1,000%.
And this show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, is like a beloved, huge American classic. So, and that's so him. I think it's actually really brilliant. I just don't know the creative of the show if I agree with it.
Without kids, you mean?
Yeah. Like, it was so... like, very young Sheldon energy.
Yeah. I think it could work without kids.
They should really have that kid host the show.
Young Sheldon.
Even though he's old Sheldon now.
Teenage Sheldon.
I'll just really never be okay with, like, you know, specifically young boys, like, going through puberty on television. It's really, it's just never, it's really uncomfortable for everyone. Brad?
We know.
It's like one of my least favorite things.
Imagine how they feel.
No, I know. And I imagine, like, they, you know, years from now will be like, why the fuck were my, like, most horrible, awkward years broadcast for all of America to see?
And then they'll look at their bank account and they'll say, okay.
That's why.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll allow it.
So true. Okay, so those were the Fast Five stories, and we're going to get into Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment, where you can write into us. Either head over to thetoastpodcast.com. There's a little submission box there, totally anonymously. Or email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. What are you going through? Do you need advice from your two favorite squirrel friends? We'll help you. And today, we've got a note from a sober mother. Hi, swirlies. I'm a sober mother of two. I recently started making some mom friends at my son's preschool. Nobody knows that I'm sober, and on playdates when somebody has offered me a cocktail, I've always tried to defer while not disclosing my situation. I am not ashamed of my sobriety. I'm actually very proud. It will be 12 years in May, but I also just met these women, and I'm not sure how much I want to tell them. I got invited to a mom's night out next week, and I got invited to a mom's night out next week. Should I just tell them when they offer me a drink, or should I just keep making excuses?
Whatever you're comfortable with. I feel like there's so many fake excuses that you could come up with. I also feel like most of the times when I'm hanging out with moms, we actually don't drink. Like, someone's always pregnant. Someone's always breastfeeding. Like, I don't drink. Like, I feel like it's okay to say no, especially when you have such young children. Like, they're in preschool. It's not like everyone's getting lit up. Like, you got to be up early the next morning.
Right.
Changing diapers. Like, I don't know. I don't think you should worry so much about it. And you can be honest if you feel like you want to open up to these people. And if you just don't feel like having that conversation, there are so many reasons why you could be like, oh, like the truth for me, I get such bad hangovers, I can't be a hungover mom.
No, but also I feel like you can and should be honest, but you also don't need to say like I'm in recovery. You just say I don't drink. Like plenty of people don't drink.
Plenty of people don't drink.
You don't. And then once you know these people, you can tell them your story and how you're at 12 years, but just say, no, I don't drink. Like Margaret Josephs doesn't drink. You know, it's like people don't drink.
Yeah.
So just, I would say like, I don't drink.
Yeah. And I don't think drinking is germane to like motherhood friendships and like friendships for like new moms or young moms. Like it's not a huge part of the equation. You know, if you were going on spring break and you weren't like, that's something else, but I feel like it's not even a major factor.
I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm literally not a mom, but I feel like having mom friends is really germane to survival of, you know, motherhood, like having people to commiserate with. And I don't know, I would tell them this part of you, share that with you, with them, yeah. You know, it could lead to like real connection.
Yeah, I don't see why not to share, but everyone's different. So if there's a real reason why you don't want to share, there's other things you can do, but I think sharing would be nice.
I think sharing would be nice too. Okay, dear Jackie and Claudia, recently I went on my final spring break trip of college with my 5 closest girlfriends. We stayed at my friend's dad's private resort where we were literally the only people there besides a security guard and a house manager. After the house manager left for the day and the guard wasn't there, we went skinny dipping in the pool. We laughed and giggled the whole time. It was so dark, you really couldn't see anything on anyone. However, when I told my boyfriend about it, he seemed upset with me. I told him it was about the act of feeling free and comfortable with my 5 closest girlfriends, but he still seemed annoyed. Did I violate the respect between us? Should I have opted out of the skinny dipping? No, so? Your boyfriend's a fucking loser. Like, grow up.
Yeah.
Unless you guys are like hella religious or something and it violates sort of like your code of conduct for each other. But if you're not, like, literally who cares if he's what, jealous? You're not a lesbian.
No, I don't think he's, I don't know. I can't underskip into his frame of mind. I think he's overreacting. Don't feel bad about it. You did nothing wrong.
You literally did nothing wrong, but like, how do you resolve this, I think is the question. What, are you going to pander and apologize? No, because I feel like that sets a bad precedent. Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean I need to apologize. Your feeling is wrong.
Yeah, you could say like, I'm sorry that we weren't on the same page about something like that.
Ooh, I love that. I love a skirt around apology where you say, I'm sorry, but like, you're not really taking responsibility.
No, I'm not sorry for the thing you want me to be sorry for. Like, but I'm sorry that that was not something that I understood that you would be upset about. And next time I just won't fucking tell you, narc.
That's, I think, a real lesson here as well. Like, not everybody needs to know everything. Even the person you're like closest to in this world, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's irrelevant. Like, nothing about what you did affects him whatsoever.
No, and this is like a special girlhood memory. Like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Loser. He's giving loser.
Don't tell him next time.
Yeah, no, that's the lesson here. Like, you know, he can't handle certain information, so he shouldn't get the security clearance. Much like Oppenheimer.
He doesn't have the clearance.
And neither did Oppenheimer, because you want to know why? He was a snitch. Well, he was a communist, but same thing. No, like, he was really smart, but he was, like, low-key communist energy. So they weren't going to give him the highest level of security clearance, because, like, you know, do the work, but we're not going to give you that sort of level.
Yeah,
makes sense. It made sense at the time. Okay, our third and final we have from one of our Gen Z toasters. And I love when one of our Gen Z toasters write in. Hey, Jackson Turd, I'm a high school senior and I need a prom date. I have a little over 2 months and I have no prospects. Please help, advice needed. Thanks. A swirly looking for a prom date. Prom is so hard. Prom is so hard because either like you have a boyfriend, which like nobody does, by the way, like normalize not having a boyfriend in high school, or you like go with a friend. And it's like, that's not fun. You just want like your crush to ask you out and that never happens.
Yeah. I don't really know. What I'll say is, which it's not going to feel this way right now, but ultimately it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
So true. Don't put too many eggs in this basket. Like you will never remember who you went to prom with.
Unless
you ended up marrying him, which would never happen either.
Even if your crush asks you or you go with a friend or someone you're not that excited about, like, it doesn't matter. Your life is going to start after prom. Like,
no, but also a prom date is just like a means to an end. Like you just need to go because that's like the societal standard. Like you go with a date, whatever, find someone to go with. And then like, once you get there, like you just hang out with your friends. You literally don't even hang out with your date, you know?
Yeah. I would just like choose someone at random.
And know that it's really not that serious. It has no bearing on your romantic future. It's just simply a means to an end. Like, you need to do the pictures. You don't want to, like, you know, you can go without a date. But then, like, in the pictures, you're sort of
you need some arm candy.
Yeah. And I don't believe in, like, not having a date because, like, women empowerment. Like, you need a date. Okay.
Yeah. It's still the prom.
Yeah. You need a date. And I'm sure, like,
to you, and if you had told me this, I would say, shut up.
It means more than anything.
It does mean more than anything in that moment. And I understand that. I'm just letting you know, like, zoomed out, it doesn't mean what you think it means, but I understand in this moment, like, it means everything. I would just look around the cafeteria. Look, see what you're looking for. Yeah, pick someone at random. Say, you, I'm going to make you my prom date.
And I wouldn't, like, you know, obviously we watch so many movies. You want to go with the coolest guy. The girls who go with the coolest guys and never have any fun, the coolest guys are, like, dumb and moronic and can't hold a conversation. I would seriously go with, like, you know, the nerd who takes off his glasses and everybody realizes he's handsome. One, that's, like, the type of guy you actually have, like, the most potential to actually marry. And those guys, like, always end up making a lot of money. You know, the jocks, like, always end up, you know, with no sort of career prospects. The nerds, they start companies. You know, they get patents that, you know, generate $1 billion in revenue. Like, I would go for the nerdy guy. You honestly probably would, A, have the best time, and B, the most potential.
Yeah. I like it.
Switch and he's just as worried as you are that no one's going to ask him, you know?
So true.
So just strike up a conversation and just, like, drop the hint. Like, guys like that need to be pushed a little bit. So, you know, if you wait around for him to ask, like, he might not, just go over and be like, do you have a date for prom? And then he'll be like, no. And then you say, me neither. And then he'll be like, oh, I should ask this girl, you know?
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And prom is so exciting. And this is what I always say to our Gen Z swirlies who write in. Like, you're a high school senior. Oh, my God. And what month is it? Oh, my God. It's like the second semester, you know? You don't have any work to do. You know where you're going to college. This is the most fabulous time of your life. They write, you know, epic novels about and movies about this time of your life. Enjoy it. Don't be bogged down by insecurities. Oh, who am I going to go prom with? Nobody fucking cares. Like, eventually, like, people forget about it literally the next day. So just enjoy this time in your life. Like, you're obviously a toaster, so you have an amazing head on your shoulders. You probably already know this, but just, like, enjoy. Live in the moment. Get off your phone, you know? I'm so happy for you. Enjoy.
Yeah. I love that.
I love you.
Oh, love you too.
I have, you know, got to start my day, you know?
Busy, busy.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast and Lena Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all these movies, and all the podcasts. 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Love ya.
Love ya. Oh. Bye.